Lord, Pap can tell easy. Pap says when they keep looking at you right steady, they're a-witching you, especially if they mumble. Because when they mumble, they're a-saying the Lord's Prayer backwards. Say, Hucky, when are you going to try the cat? Tonight? I reckon they'll come after old Hoss Williams tonight. But they buried him Saturday, Huck. Didn't they get him Saturday night? Why, how you talk. How could their charms work till midnight? And then it's Sunday. Devils don't slosh around much of a Sunday, I don't reckon. I never thought of that. That's so. Let me go with you. Course, if you ain't afeard. Afeard? Tain't likely. Will you meow? Yes, and you meow back if you get a chance. Last time you kept a me a meowing around till old Hayes went to throwing rocks at me and says, "Durn that cat." So I hove a brick through his window, but don't you tell. I won't. I couldn't meow that night because Annie was watching me, but I'll meow this time. Say, Huck, what's that? Nothing but a tick. Where'd you get him? Out in the woods. What'll you take for him? I don't know. I don't want to sell him. All right. It's a mighty small tick anyway. Oh, anybody can run a tick down that don't belong to them. I'm satisfied with it. It's a good enough tick for me. Sure, there's ticks aplenty. I could have had 1,000 of them if I wanted to. Well, why don't you? Because you know mighty well you can't. This is a pretty early tick, I reckon. It's the first one I've seen this year. Say, Huck, I'll give you my tooth for him. Let's see it. Tom got out a bit of paper and carefully unrolled it. Huckleberry viewed it wistfully. The temptation was very strong. At last he said, "Is it genuine?" Tom lifted his lip and showed the vacancy. "Well, all right," said Huckleberry. "It's a trade." Tom enclosed the tick in the percussion cap box that had lately been the pinch bug's prison, and the boys separated, each feeling wealthier than before. When Tom reached the little isolated frame schoolhouse, he strode in briskly, with the manner of one who had come with all honest speed. He hung his hat on a peg and flung himself into his seat with businesslike alacrity. The master, throned on high in his great splint-bottom armchair, was dozing, lulled by the frowsy hum of study. The interruption roused him.
"Thomas Sawyer."
Tom knew that when his name was pronounced in full, it meant trouble.
"Sir, come up here. Now, sir, why are you late again as usual?"
Tom was about to take refuge in a lie when he saw two long tails of yellow hair hanging down a back that he recognized by the electric sympathy of love, and by that form was the only vacant place on the girl's side of the schoolhouse. He instantly said, "I stopped to talk with Huckleberry Finn." The master's pulse stood still. He stared helplessly. The buzz of study ceased. The pupils wondered if this foolhardy boy had lost his mind. The master said,
You did what?"
"Stop to talk with Huckleberry Finn." There was no mistaking the words.
"Thomas Sawyer, this is the most astounding confession I have ever listened to. No mere ferule will answer for this offense. Take off your jacket."
The master's arm performed until it was tired and the stock of switches notably diminished. Then the order followed.
"Now, sir, go and sit with the girls, and let this be a warning to you."
The titter that rippled around the room appeared to abash the boy, but in reality that result was caused rather more by his worshipful awe of his unknown idol and the dread pleasure that lay in his high good fortune. He sat down upon the end of the pine bench, and the girl hitched herself away from him with a toss of the head. Nudges and winks and whispers traversed the room, but Tom sat still, with his arms upon the long, low desk before him, and seemed to study his book.